Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. It is the Wise Words of One Gun Show on Blog Talk Radio. Hey, the number that we ask you to call, if you have a Metro or a T-Mobile or you cannot get into the show because it says that you have to make a payment to get in, I request that you call 611 and ask that your provider reset your phone and let them know the number that you're trying to call, and therefore they'll clear the numbers and you'll be able to call in. With that being said, I got this song from Brother Marvell before we start with our host with the most, Mr. Marvell Wilson. This one's for you, sir. Show, and I'm going to open the phone line up for our host and the rest of our callers. I see about six people in right now, so I know two of y'all said you didn't want to say anything, so continue to listen, but I wanted to make sure that your phone line was going to be able to come in. Without further ado, here's Brother Marvell for you. Marvell?
Yeah, good morning, brother. Good morning to you, and good morning to our listening audience. And thank you very much for echoing my sentiment, my belief, that we're going to keep on moving and pressing the issue until we recognize and get recognized. So thank you very much for that. I hope people, I don't know how many people have heard that for the first time or have heard it and it brought back memories, but it's almost ironic and kind of sad that was made in the 60s, and we're still looking at the same challenges to overcome in 2023 going into 24. Yet we're going to keep on. We're going to keep on bringing these issues to the floor. We're going to keep on urging our people to look closer at themselves to find that royalty within, and we're going to keep on encouraging everyone to express that royalty collectively. So good morning to anyone who wants to speak right now, and let's open up the lines for further comment.
Grand rising, kings and queens. It's a glorious day to give gratitude and have a positive attitude. towards all that we'll be going through.
I say, I say. And that's Brother Mark. Brother Mark, I was hoping you'd say your name so they know who that is. But, yeah, Brother Mark.
This is Mark the Disciple.
I got Disciple. Hey, look, so check this out. We was talking last night on a different note, me and my wife, about Christmas and who still believes in Christmas and what does Christmas mean to you. And so what Christmas means to me is a bunch of people getting together, spending money on one another without appreciation of one another, just spending money and giving a gift. Did you deserve the gift or did you earn the gift? Most of the time, no, it's just to see the smile on your face and the glow in your eyes when I hand you this gift, right? And so I wanted to know worldwide, what does Christmas mean to you? Because I don't believe in Christmas. I never have. And a lot of people say I was the Scrooge, the Grinch. I was the, who else? Everything negative I was because I didn't believe in a fat white man coming down no chimney putting some presents under the tree. I didn't believe that. I couldn't lie to myself and think that I believed that. And so a lot of times, you know, my closest friends and family, they'd shunned upon me about giving the real, you know. I didn't believe in the tooth fairy. I didn't believe in the Easter bunny. I didn't believe in these things. And so I wasn't going to perpetrate like I do. And so what it is to me, Christmas is a big spending moment, right? They know that folks that barely can pay their light bill, they rent and buy food, will go out and spend big money on presents at this time of year. And so I'm wondering, why are we still caught up in that? Why are we still caught up in that? Okay, and then when I used to say, okay, we don't believe in the fat white man, but then someone said, well, it ain't about the fat white man, it's about Jesus. I said, okay, well, when was Jesus really born? Because there's a discrepancy about when he was born. And was it a gift to the world? Was he the gift to the world on the 25th of December? And I thought to myself, man, you can make up a story and give it to one person, and they'll take that story, and if he's reputable, people will believe it, and then he'll pass it to some more people, and they'll pass it to some more people, and then it gets spread like that COVID-19, right? And so I don't believe in it. I'm not trying to knock you for believing in it. But, man, whenever that white man come down your chimney, tell him I want me a Bugatti. Oops, my mic's on. Marvell.
Yeah, so what you're suggesting is that it's not likely that that's going to happen. And I like you, I've always felt in the spirit of the collectivism and the sharing and the family and all that, but I've never really bought into all of those things that they put on the periphery of it. Saint Nicholas, and Saint Nicholas was, you know, I understood he was a con man in Germany, and he was, you know, he worked people over. During certain seasons, he put his hand down and attracted a lot of people to something, and they contributed something, and then he'll bilk them out of their money or whatever their valuables were. So the origin of all of this is just, and it got here to be what it is now. I've never bought into any of that. I'll say that I do appreciate the fact that there people can put everything aside. Everything aside for one day and focus on each other for one day. And one of my exes was a brilliant young lady. She told me, she said, now it's supposed to be a birthday party, right? So why everybody get a gift but Jesus? That's what she said. Then she also imparted to me something to consider, and I said this yesterday, was that the people who benefit the most from all of our contributions to this holiday don't even celebrate it. The Jewish community does not even celebrate Christmas, but they benefit from our celebration. We're looking at something that deserves a little bit more closer, a little bit more scrutiny than we've been giving. And I introduced Kwanzaa yesterday as a potential alternative for us, because Kwanzaa is culturally centered, culturally focused, and it does not put a lot of emphasis on things but the spirit and the emotions and the idea of us getting together and just remembering where we came from and honoring those qualities. So I'm with you, Tim. I always scratch my head. I always scratch my head about because Santa Claus, to me, he always looked like an alcoholic because his nose was all red, you know, and he was kind of plump and pinkish and stuff. So, you know, I don't know if I'm going to expect an alcoholic to come and bring me nothing, you know. So, and then I always balked at the going to the church when I was young. They had the blonde-haired, blue-eyed guy up on the cross, and I was looking at my mom and saying, who was that? And she would say, that's Jesus. And I'm saying, oh, okay. That's Jesus? Okay, well, I can't take your word for it being that. I hear you saying that, but I'm not taking your word just because you say that's who it is. I'm not convinced of that because I just don't see how that could represent the Savior of the world. So we're fighting through a whole bunch of adages and things that are put out, and we're bought in, but now we're again, I said yesterday, we're what Donald Glover say, we're woke, and our job is to stay woke. And so as our eyes are open and we look around, we start saying, like Arsenio Hall used to have a show, and he had a segment that said, things that make you go, So now we're doing that. We're saying, closer. So that's where I think we're headed now, and it's a good place to be. We're getting more and more willing to peel back the skins of stuff that we've been just taken for granted. Ashe.
Well, yeah, I'd like to add something to that. You know,
go ahead, Mark.
Man is so apt to believe a lie. Man will rather believe fairy tales than to believe the truth. Man will rather believe in something that he cannot see and than to believe what he do see. You know, like I said, it's all about love. And I'm with you on the Kwanzaa thing because I didn't know much about it until you brought it to the forefront yesterday. And I appreciate that because every day you should feel in your heart to give gifts to those that you love. Every day you should give thanksgiving. Nobody should designate one day for you to do certain things. And that day is just a day for you to go out and get broke. He's going to take back all the money that you gave. Well, not take back. You're going to give it to him freely. You know, and you would rather give buy these things that these kids are going to play with maybe an hour, maybe a day, some of them maybe 2 days. Then they're going to throw it in the corner if they don't break it. Or you going to get them something that they really, that you can't afford to give them so they could go out and high side on their friends, and somebody's going to beat the kid up and take it from them. Are killing and take it from them like Nike and Jordan. I'm serious, man. I've seen this. The kids got killed over some Jordans one Christmas. So, you know, you got to think about what you're doing, the problems that you're causing,
that you're going to get upset about in the long run, in the aftermath of the effects of your kind gesture, your good deed, which is nothing but you trying to portray to other people that you're able to do something that don't need to be done. We got to think, and we got to get back to basics. And when you talk about this fat man that goes around hollering, ho, 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 and it's just what he said, ho, 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 he got a bunch of hoes. They going to give him that money. You going to sit up there, put popcorn on the tree, cookies on the table, glass of milk. You know, it don't make no sense. You're teaching your kids this mess. And, you know, like I say, everything our kids do, we bought this on ourselves. We allow them to do it. How long are you going to believe the lie? How long are you going to live this lie? When will this mess end? You know for a fact that it's not real, but yet and still you do it. And it's just like we say, we keep doing the same thing, looking for a different result. And it's not going to happen. Got to wake up, my people. I digress.
I say, can't get more pointed than that. We're looking around, or we're looking beyond some realities to continue a falsehood or a fantasy that I don't know if it doesn't stimulate me, so I'm not able to speak for how it stimulates one. But it, obviously, it's something in it enough to keep a host of people buying in and supporting this particular time of year. So for those who didn't know about it, Mark just mentioned it, and I'll give just a brief overview of what he's talking about. It's a celebration, I think it was 1966, a brother by the name of Maulana Karinga devised a celebration for the African culture, which based upon observing seven principles, one principle every day. It's called the Nguza Saba. The first principle would be the 26th of December, would be the principle of Umoja, stands for unity. Then the second one would be what they call Kuji Chagalia, which is self-determination. The third day would be Ujima, which is collective work and responsibility. The fourth would be Ujama, which is cooperative economics. The fifth would be Nia, which is purpose. The sixth day would be creativity, headed by the name Kumba. And then the seventh day would be Imani, which is faith. And all these solid principles are observed in practice, and it's at no real cost to the pocket, but a benefit to the spirit. So this is something to consider. Do a little research, look it up. If you're interested, or you might want to observe it this year, or prepare for next year, so we can relax tension of preparing to be in debt and depressed January 25 or January 24, you know, because I had it, and I talked about it yesterday. I've had those depressions where I've gone full force to make sure that my kids could smile and make sure that everything was festive and everything was, the decor was appropriate and all of that. And then a depression set in January because the bills were looking at me saying, well, what you going to do? And I said, man, it's Christmas. And the bills was like, say, if they could talk, they were saying, and what about me? And I couldn't tell them. I couldn't ask them. I was like, okay, well, I'll get back with you. And they said, no. No, you don't get with me now. We'll get back with you, and it won't be comfortable. So we run around, and we do this This we on March step to make sure that we do these things. Yes, if we look closer, we'll find that we can start by relaxing and telling the truth. And then we can find other alternatives to consider how to celebrate this thing, and we can do it individually. It don't have to be a collective idea of buying and all that. We could just observe, do some research and observe it in a comfort zone that is lodged in truth rather than fantasy. What you say?
Oh man, you hit it right where it need to be hit. So fantasy, that's what it is. It's a fantasy, and we've bought into that fantasy for years, right? And so, like I said, I don't try to knock nobody for nothing they do, but when a people is oppressed as bad as our culture, when we're oppressed and we can't get any get right, you know, what I'm saying, no get right, is by these folks showing us in our face that Donald Trump can still run for president after all the craziness that's going on. They didn't storm the Capitol. They didn't did all this. They didn't did all that. He ain't paid no taxes, and yet he still can run to be a president, right? Then they said on another note that he can't even be charged, you know. He can't be charged with the crimes that he committed because he was once a president. And so that gives me thought to say that white power has been ruling this country for the longest, and the black man has not stood up with a straight back and say, fuck y'all. Excuse my language. Fuck y'all. Enough is enough. Y'all don't bring all these people up in here. You're giving them all the jobs. You're placing them in homes. You're giving them all the money. The ones that get here, the ones that still over there, they still getting paper. And here we is, the ones that can build this country, inventions, as Brother Marvell has spoken on, plenty of inventions that we still don't get recognized for, and you spit in our face like this, and we don't do nothing. So it ain't the white man's problem. It's our problem. If we can march for when little Pookie gets shot with his bad butt, he was out in the streets running crazy. He didn't got put down. Now we marching in the street because maybe an officer or another ethnicity has knocked him down. And we want to march and scream and burn down what little we have in the name of little Pookie. But yet we can't march and burn down something and take something when it's about our people. See, Christmas to me means giving me what is owed, that debt that is owed to the black folks of this country. That's Christmas. You want to really celebrate? Give us what we deserve. Now, the cold thing about this on the flip side is that once you give it to us, we're going to give it right back because we ain't been taught and we're not teaching one another how, if we is to get any type of reparation or any type of Christmas, how to hold on, invest, save, put up, whatever it is. We are not taught that. And what showed me that is the COVID-19. They gave a Christmas present called COVID-19, the little money that they gave, PPE, PPP, whatever it was. They even had the unemployment, the EDD giving money out, and people then ran that up, right? And so all I'm asking is for Christmas, sign any documents that say you're going to give black folks that reparation money so they can build, or give them land, or give them property, or give them buildings, or give them something. But don't keep on showing me on the news every day where y'all got a package together to send $61 billion to Israel, or $40,000 to one person, or $8 billion to Ukraine. I don't want to see that no more. I don't. That's a slap in my face, and I wince when I see it.
Appears to be a reenactment of in 1860. They had what they called the Homestead Act, where people came from other countries and got land for free, and farmers got subsidized to groom land. However, when that land needed to be groomed and tilled and nurtured, they had to rely upon us to teach them how to do it, because they're in a foreign land with free land to work, but they didn't know how to work it. So the resource that's been drawn from for years and years and years, it just seems like we have to get out of being comfortable or being fleeced. You know, we're like I told a buddy of mine about being what they call living water, where no matter how many times you go to the water is always there to nourish you and to heal you, and you don't have to do nothing but just keep going to the well and going to the stream, because that living water is so chock full of vital, life-giving energy that you don't have to do nothing but just keep going to it, right? And I talk about that because I'm relating to how we're – see, here's one thing that I observed about our resilience. It's not only do we have it, but folk who observe us anticipate us demonstrating it and using it no matter what. So here it is. No matter what's thrust upon them, they going to come up out of it. So we don't have to be conscious about what we do, because they're going to bounce back no matter what. But how far they bounce, that's what we want to control. When they hit the flow and bounce back, we don't want them to bounce too high. So we got this little lever here to catch the ball before it gets to a level where we have to, they're in overview and they can see us clearly. We want to be in overview and control the level of the bounce. But they're going to bounce back. And that's, I think that's a kind of like one of the, what you call a paradox to our resilience. It's a statement that contradicts itself. When we're resilient, we should be able to excel. But we don't excel. We just bounce back and bounce back to a level that is easily controlled. So waking up to even that becomes important, because we are resilient people. That's true. However, our resilience may work against us if we don't start doing our best thinking about how, when we bounce back, where we bounce to. I hope that makes sense.
I see. I totally agree with you. And that's the thing. Like I always say, you can never bounce back chasing a bag. You cannot accomplish anything by trying to consume something that you can't make, reproduce on your own. Because whenever you try to reproduce it, whenever, no matter how much you make or whatever, they got more than you, because they make it so you can't obtain it. They want you to obtain it. They want you to continue to obtain it, because that's a resource that we cannot create, but they can create it for us to utilize, to purchase the products that we make, that we, our hard sweat and tears earn. We create, go in there and create just to get paid what they make, and then we give it back to them. We have to go out and purchase what we make. What kind of sense does that make? We got to wake up. We got to rebuild. We got to start from scratch and do what we do. We are resilient, just as you have said. And we have the ability. We have the know-how. Or as Marvelous Marv always says, we have the wherewithal. But where is our all when we need it? To do better, we got to come together. If we come together, we can accomplish many things. We could build a world much greater than this. All we need to do is pool our pennies together, get us some land, not asking for all your money, $5 a month per person. That's enough to accomplish a lot. And they can't touch us because we're using their own game against them. And see, that's the thing that a mastermind hates, is when he get mastered by his own mind. I digress.
Man, that's big. That's big. And so the conversation is huge. We want you to call 515-605-9861. That's 515-605-9861. You're listening to the Wise Words with One Gone Show. We'll be right back.
Hooked on Fishing and Not on Violence presents you. Healing Circle, every Tuesday night from 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m.
You, healing together.
2251 Florin Road, Sacramento, California. Inside of Room 67, our Youth Healing Circle is a forum where we dive into discussions about drugs, bullying, school, and life skills. We provide a safe space and inform our youth
that sometimes it is okay to not be okay.
During our Youth Healing Circle, our youth may hear from other youth as well as experienced adults how to problem solve and navigate unforeseen complexities that we all run into in life. 2251 Florin Road, Sacramento, California. That's Room 67, every Tuesday night from 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. For more information, text or call 916-889-0105. Let's heal together. Peace and blessings, King. Hooked on Fishing and Not on Violence presents
the Men's Healing Circle.
Brothers healing together.
Brothers healing together.
Join us every Wednesday night from 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. 2251 Florin Road, Sacramento, California, inside the Obama Room. The Men's Healing Circle is a place where men uplift, encourage, and inspire each other to be better through personal testimony, dialogue, self-reflection, self-improvement, and positive affirmation. Again, that's 2251 Florin Road, Sacramento, California, in the Obama Room. Come out and pledge to greatness with your fellow brother.
It's Future the Don out of Wilmington, North Carolina. Tuning in with DJ One Gone.
Yes, sir. And so we're asking the question, what does Christmas mean to you? What does it mean to you? Because I see a lot of people gearing up to give out a bunch of gifts and they ain't paid their mortgage or their rent or the lights. They paid partial of it, right, in hopes to spend the other part on getting gifts. And so at this time of the year, I appreciate, you know, family coming together without having to go to a funeral or a wedding, because that's the only time we show up as deep as we do is when there's a funeral or a wedding, right? And so I want you to know that Christmas, to me, means nothing. With that being said, here's your host for the day, Marvell Wilson. Marvell?
Yes, sir. Me, you said it means nothing. I mean, that's zero. It has zero value. The face of it has zero value. Just the offspring of it has a spirit where coming together and, you know, even the gift giving, to see the smiles on the kids' face and all of that, it sounds like there's a inspiration. It's like we don't get a chance to have this feeling until it's the appointed time. We're so caught up in the other time that we need an appointed time to have these moments. It's almost like, you know, like when I used to use the dope, you know, it was like I sacrificed everything else just for that feeling, and then it got to be to the point where I wasn't even getting that no more. I was just seeking it, right? So we're sort of like demonstrating what it is that we want to experience on a regular basis, but we're not doing the things that would make it easier. You got to spend a lot of money to get this feeling this time of year. You got to spend a lot of time. You got to stand in line. You got to fight people over bargains. You know, I've seen people get in the fight about, well, I had that first, man, and getting fights in stores. After you've been standing in line and you're going through all this fatigue of trying to acquire something, this ring, you know, this carrot, and for this feeling on this day when it's a possibility that if we look closer, we can experience these type of feelings on a fairly regular basis with some practice. But after in the aftermath, we go back to the humdrum, trying to tie up loose ends to the next designated day for the feeling.
Wow.
And it seems kind of desperate to me.
Hey, Marvell, you hit it right on the head, man. Listen to me. When you said we wait for the appointed time to get this feeling, right? And so it's bad that we can't get the feeling without having to pay a cost to get that feeling. Instead of coming in brotherly love and say, hey, let's show up at the park today, bring all of the family out, let's eat hot dogs. Let's play board games. Let's play hop in the sack or whatever, you know, jump in the sack, sack races. You know, let's get a kickball game going. You know, something that will help us enjoy one another and have fun at the same time. It seems to be overlooked. And I don't understand why we can't do the simplest of things to enjoy ourselves without having to pay a dollar for it, right? I don't see why we can't go and walk by the river and look at the ducks and listen at the whisper of the wind and, you know, enjoy one another's company and conversation to fulfill the need of being needed and wanted. I don't see that, and it hurts me that our people are so hurt, because I can say most of them, they're working out a hurt place in their life, right? I am too, right? And so I don't see how one doesn't let that light go off in their head or see the light that went off in their head and conform to having a communication line open for your brothers and sisters to understand your wants and needs so they can tell you their wants and needs, come together and move, like Mark said, economically with $5 in the pot. It's 159,000 people, black people in Sacramento, 159,000. And if we was to put $1 a day for a month in a pot without somebody saying, well, what's the number in the pot? How much in the pot? When I'm going to get my cut out the pot? If we can just put it in the pot, let it go for 1 month, 30 days or 31 days, man, we can buy up some stuff. We can help ourselves. We can police ourselves. We can uplift ourselves. But we can't seem to get over that hump of thinking, Johnny got all the money, man. Go check the bank account. Something wrong. Instead of lifting, we tear down. And so that's the biggest problem for us. We don't seem to want to get past the hump. And the hump is stop worrying about things you can't change and start worrying about things you can. And I just told you what you can change. You can change this economics in your neighborhood. If y'all get together, put a pot together, drop that money in like you're doing for St. Nick's. The man out there in front of Walmart, he's swinging a bill, got a kettle in his hand, and y'all dropping pennies, nickels, dimes, But if I come out there and say this is for the black community and I shake a red, black, and green bell and I tell you this is for the black community, y'all going to think I'm trying to Jew you. But all I'm trying to do is help you. And so we have to get back to trust, because we are a non-trusting culture. We are a non-trusting peoples. We are a non-trusting set of people that don't want to really help ourselves. Because if we did, like Mark said, put $5 in the thing, man. It's $159,000 here. Put $5 in there once, and let's build from there. Thank you.
Wow. You said it. I was thinking it, and I was saying I was gonna insert it, but you said it. Trust. Trust. Where does that come from? I know where distrust comes from. Distrust comes from envy. Distrust comes from a deep-seated want to not allow someone that looks like you to look better than you. That distrust comes from constantly being worked over with the good game of advertising and the clever underhanded moves that's been made that we can't control or that we're susceptible to because we're the target, and then dealing with each other and feeling like that we're going to duplicate what we're feeling and coming from the system as it stands now. So the distrust is just kind of like something that is easy to understand. It's difficult to pull from because we have to have the integrity and the character of the individuals that we might tend to trust to be outstanding. It has to be beyond reproach. It got to be unquestionably moral. To the high degree. So when we trust our black leadership, or we trust our black structure for how to do things, that's kind of one of the elements that probably has to be in place, is that the people that we're investing or we're pooling the money with that's in charge, we have to believe without a doubt that they are upstanding, trustworthy, with integrity and good character. So what we're allowing you to understand as a listening audience is that if the body of people that you're hearing from now on this station that come on here every morning to share information, if people like us don't seem to qualify for that, then tell us who you think would, so that we can appeal to them to get your confidence so we can go forward and have trust at the center of our movement. Does that make sense?
Makes 100% sense to me. My thing is, we're more apt to go to that casino and put a whole paycheck in that machine. Not likely to get anything. But you hoping, and you'll go back next week or whenever you get another check. You might not put as much, but you're going to put something in there. All you got to do is donate $5 to the Black Cohesion. We're going to pool this money together. We're going to build some things with it. This money is to buy property so we can grow our own fruits and vegetables. I don't eat meat, but if you eat meat, purchase some cows and pigs. But you will no longer have to go to a grocery store to get this glued together meat. This you don't know what you're buying in them packages. They put a label on it. You don't know what you're eating. You might be eating your neighbor. You know, you just don't know. So anyway, you know, if you're going to take a chance with us, because we're trying to do better for our people. I want to see my people thrive. Not only survive, I want to see them thrive. Right now, we're just existing. We don't have no thoughts for tomorrow, which we shouldn't take thoughts for tomorrow. But a lot of them don't even have hope, don't even have a dream. Only thing they know is, I want that bag. Got to get beyond that, because it's more to it than just the bag. That bag is full of nothing but rags. It ain't nothing but recycled paper. And you'll work your whole life for it to get nowhere. You can't take it with you. So let's love one another. That's what every day should be. Christmas. Every day should be Thanksgiving. It is in my heart,
yes, sir,
and in my mind. See, I don't need nobody to designate one day out the year for me to show love to a loved one. If I'm able to do it, I feel an unction in my heart, I'm going to get it for them. But, I mean, we just got to rethink some things. Let's get back to love. I love all of y'all. God bless you.
God bless you, too. Watch this, though. Watch this, though, man. This is a cold, cold topic of what does Christmas mean to you. See, Christmas is every day to me, right? When I wake up in the morning, by the grace of God, to do the things I do, to keep breathing and moving both hands, both arms, both legs, both eyes, one mouth, listen out of both ears. I appreciate that to the utmost. That's the blessing and a gift from God, is to wake up every day, and be able to breathe and see things, right? And so if you're overlooking your biggest gift of life, which is life, you're missing the whole thing about Christmas then, because Christmas every day, and you get a present every day from God Almighty. And so I want y'all to teach that to your youth. How about that? How about teaching them about love, like Mark said? How about teaching them about love? I was looking at this video I had shared where a young 8-year-old was talking about killing the op, knocking down the op, cussing and whatnot. And I said on this post that I sent out, I said, why is this young man killing the culture instead of building the culture? And a lot of people hit on that and said, shame on the daddy, shame on the this, shame on the that. But yet, that's what's entertaining. Because I seen some other people say, man, little man caught fire, whoop, 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 right? And so it's not how the demo is being demonstrated. It's what is demonstrated in the demo. Because hip-hop has been around for 50 years. It's another segment I seen. 50 years of hip-hop, and hip-hop don't own a bank. Hip-hop don't own no gas station. Hip-hop don't own no hip-hop grocery stores. Hip-hop don't own nothing. And the little labels that they do up under hip-hop is a self-centered thing where, say, I'm a rapper and I got this product that I'm trying to get out. I'm going to use my vehicle of hip-hop to get it out there. But never once does that entity give to a bigger cause to change our cause. Woo, y'all didn't hear what I said. Never once did they give to the cause for the cause. And so hip-hop, 50 years and we still ain't got it together. Matter of fact, 50 years and we gone backwards. Were they just doing dope on the track? They shooting and killing on the track? They telling on each other on the track. Oh, man, they beating our women, disrespecting our women on the track. And this is what we got to celebrate for 50 years of hip-hop? See, that's a whole other story, and we're going to talk about that tomorrow. But we talking about Christmas in the hood and what it mean to you.
Yeah, the moving parts that you described that we should be thankful for are not only the blessing, where those parts are moving toward is equally as important. Now you wake up with your moving parts and you feel that you have been gifted with something to operate with. What is your operation? What is your short-term, mid-term goal to honor that gift? And if it's not somebody that look like you or people who have your like experience that you are thinking about uplifting or supporting, then go back to sleep. Just go back to sleep until you wake up into a mental environment that says that now that I'm awake with all my gifts, my limbs are operative, I can move, I can, where am I going today to help enrich those around me? If you're not thinking like that, now I ain't going to say go back to sleep, just take a little nap, put the alarm on for 5 minutes, and then wake up and rethink. Because other than that, we're sort of getting caught up in this system that says, look out only for yourself and forget about anything or anybody else, just your world, not the world, your world. And your world might consist of a few friends and a few family members, and nobody else matters to you but them. And that's kind of sad, because the vastness of the spirit that exists, especially with our people, is so warming and so inviting once you extend the invitation, so well received and so very, very powerful that you'll get addicted to that spirit. But you have to open up your mind. I ain't gonna say have to. I suggest you open up your mind and open up your heart to the warmth of that spirit. I'm going to have to do this little adjustment thing right quick.
Yes, that's very well put, Marvell. And we do need to open up our hearts and our minds to what really matters, what should matter. I say we've been caught up in this rat race for so long that we're just like the rats and the gerbils they put in those little cages. He'll get on that wheel and just run. And ain't going nowhere. The horse following the carriage, that horse will walk for days, thinking he going to get that carriage, not knowing that it's tied to his head, extended out in front of him. We have got to wake up. When will we ever say that enough is enough? We got to get tired of being tired. I'm tired of being tired. I'm tired of seeing my people tired. I'm tired of seeing my people struggle for no reason. We really don't have a reason to struggle. We struggle because we become lazy. We struggle because we've got caught up on this Ferris wheel, thinking we're having fun. Even though somebody done fell off, we still going to get back on there. People have died, we still going to get back on there. There's no bright light at the end of this tunnel. You leave the bright light when you walk into the tunnel chasing that bag. What God put out here for us is free to obtain, but we got to work together to obtain it and retain it. See, we come together, they can't take nothing from us. They already afraid of us, but they can't deal with us as a unit. They have to separate us by religion, by financial prosperity, by a lot of different things that we allow to happen. So just like they say in this music industry, these actors, these ball players, they making all these millions of dollars. Somebody getting ready to make $700 million just for signing a contract. But what they going to do with it? That money, if they'd have pulled a million of their money, $50 of their money, do you know where we'd be at right now? They'd be coming to us. Just like they come to us for advice, they'd be coming to us for their needs. Can you feed us? So I'm just saying, I digress.
I'm gonna respond to the they that you refer to, and now it appears that the they, it used to be the Caucasian male. That was the they. Now it's just greedy people. Just greed. So greed has seized a whole bunch of people who have a little toehold and they want more, so they tap into the system. And for the most part, the system is our consumer base. And once they start experiencing that, greed seizes them, obviously, because the ruthlessness that occurs thereafter and the carelessness about their economic base kicks in, and now they off and running with this greed thing and figuring out how to get more and invest less. Downsizing. Now, I mean, this thing that we're experiencing, if we don't stop to look closely, we'll find that next Christmas or the next few Christmases, I don't care how hard you strive to provide these things, you may not have a job that'll suffice them, because we're getting slowly and slowly edged out of the major market. If you're not in the AI, or if you're not into electronics, if you're not into the technology to the point where we have a toehold, the only thing left is service. And service might pay $15 an hour, might pay $17.50, might pay $20, maybe later on might pay $25. But $25 will not suffice ability to take care of yourself and then try to celebrate all of these marketed holidays and all these marketed special days that you wanted to participate in. You're going to have to make a decision. It's like, hey, Thanksgiving, no turkey. Hey, man, can't do turkey. Let's Valentine's Day, no candy, can't do candy. Let's wait for Christmas and just put all our eggs in one basket and have that one joyous day, because we ain't got that kind of dough coming in, because we don't have the knowledge and moving toward the knowledge to be invited to an income that will allow us to live well. We're getting squeezed out. We have to look around. You know, economically, we have to look around and be aware that Christmas probably won't be the main focus if you don't have a good income. So, Kwanzaa, I'm gonna insert it again. Kwanzaa start looking real appealing when that starts happening. It's like, oh, well, how much that cost? 7 candles. Light one each day and practice some principles and get around your family and talk about the warmth of the spirit of God that exists in us. Talk about it. Get to feeling it. Appreciate it. And on the seventh day, give somebody a gift that you know they want. One gift. There ain't a whole bunch of tearing up a lot of paper and all that. And buzz, open up boxes and all that. We'll give one gift to somebody that you know they want. The finish of the celebration. And then they have what they call a caramel feast, where everybody that wants to gets together and we do what you call it. Remember that word potluck? Do a potluck. Everybody bring food and we just get somewhere and enjoy food, fellowship. Have fun, play games indoor, because it's, you know, most times in most states, I'd say most, a lot of states it's kind of cold, so we won't do parks, but we can do halls and we can do places where everybody can get together and enjoy each other's company. That's going to start looking more appealing as this job market starts squeezing us out if we don't wake up to what's going on around us.
They squeezing us out now. Hey, man, I went to Walmart last night, man, and I seen a bunch of, again, like I said a couple of weeks ago, a bunch of Afghans and Ukrainians and Palestinians, and I seen a bunch of them getting trained at the Walmart, at the register. Can't even speak English. So, and it ain't their fault. It's our fault. It's our fault. We won't stand on 2 feet, 2 legs, back straight, and handle our business about our business. And that's a shame. That's a shame that we're waiting on somebody to give us something instead of doing what we need to get something.
That's the only problem. That's the only problem that exists in our community. Waiting.
Sound like Joe.
It is. It is. That's the only problem. Waiting for something to be handed. I am always, and I'll say it this morning, we merely need to go take our experience, our knowledge, and go get what we need. We know what we need. Let's simply get up and go get it. But again, as one gone just said, a lot of folks are waiting for someone to bring them something, and that goes back to the entitlement aspect you were talking about yesterday. A lot of folks think that they're entitled to lay on their behind, walk around in pajamas. I saw this yesterday myself. I've never seen anybody except wearing pajamas during business hours, but it is common practice today. So it's back to what has been said many times. The individual, we as a collective group can do quite a few good things, but if the individual is not motivated, then there's no progress. There's no movement. And I'll stop.
Yeah. So the stimuli for that movement is things of the spirit, but also the visible, tangible things. Like we're mentioning, if you look around, you might want to start getting a little nervous about what Tim just described as being. I ain't gonna say infiltrated, just let's say saturated. Let's say that the industry is being saturated by sound. See, here it is in my version, my perspective. Sound investments in a group of people. Okay, so if we bring you in and train you, you're going to work collectively and you're going to create more revenue, because you'll attract your people into our establishment and they'll buy diligently and consistently, because we have your body of people can control and let you excel. And then we anticipate that you're going to work together to create something else, but we'll still have your buying base as because we branded ourselves with you. But when it comes to us, it's like we can sell y'all something. We ain't got to train you to do nothing. You're already trained. We ain't got to bring you in because you don't show the initiative to want to build. All we do, we don't even know where y'all get the money from. That's where y'all resilience shows to us, to say we don't know where they get the money from. We just know that we can get them to spin it up in here, and we ain't really got to hire them. We ain't really got to honor them. We really ain't got to respect them. We just got to keep on providing the product conveniently for them, and they'll buy it. So we're kind of like, again, I think it's important to just look around and be level-headed about it. Now, I'm not saying act in desperation. I'm not saying start pointing fingers. And I'm not saying start rebelling and getting militant about it. Let's just be mindful, observant, and let's make adjustments according to what we see that's not working for us, and start giving attention to what has and may in the future work for us.
The BBOA, just to follow with that, has made contact with Sacramento Black Chamber of Commerce. And there's a representative that wants to come and talk to the BBOA about the perspective of next year. And so that's being in the work. That's in the works at this moment. But I shouldn't use the word but. It's come time for the men, and I say this a lot, it's come time for us men to stand up, and like Mungon just said. There are very few who are not afraid, and I've used that word before too, of the establishment to stand up face to face. That's the only way that any progress is going to be made. It has to come. It's being worked on, but it has to come. But I'll stop at this point.
Oh, hey, before you stop, Joe, define BBOA.
Black businesses of Jesus Christ.
Black Business Owners Association.
Yeah. Black Business Owners Association.
Yes. And that's a group of men who have been faithfully meeting and have put on a couple of events. They're young in the scheme of things, but they're growing. And they are making a name, although it's small at the moment, but they're making a name for themselves. And it takes men like that. And when I asked a question on Thanksgiving, and that was, and I don't want to beat a dead horse, but I really don't, outside of partying, having a few drinks, I don't see the community doing, black community doing much at all. And that's the establishment. We need to link ourselves with some in the establishment that are wise enough and strong enough to stand up, although they have been quieted through contracts and being issued money so that they have to be quiet. So about issues that are important. But as we move along, we will grow. And I'll stop.
Right on. Sounds like you're saying that the existing organizations that were designed to do some things to enrich or uplift our culture have been silenced with hush money.
Yes,
that makes
that
sense to me.
Correct.
Well, just look around. I mean, you don't have to go far. Just look around. On the radio, when you, again, this is the only black station or station that deals with black people. And none of the others are talking about reparations. Matter of fact, what's interesting on the concept of reparations, where's the committee? The one that was set up here in Sacramento, where is it? Or where is they represented? What I will do is I'll hunt them down and look for them and see if whether or not they'll be willing to come, or someone. Well, where are they?
I'll put you on the trail.
Where are they? And
I'll
here we
some
are.
Information, Joe.
Okay. But again, I mean, we're the only ones saying something. Even on this podcast, we are the Omar Bell. You've been the only one that has brought this to the airwaves. I don't know. And I'm a transplant. Communication was consistent in the San Francisco. I mean consistent, to the point that you couldn't go anywhere without someone knowing what's going on, someone knowing what to do. The communication level here needs to be brought up, especially within our community. And I, as Mark says, I digress at this time.
Well, as far as the communication level, we have to get out there and attack our people with it, because our people are bombarded with the radio. And no longer the radio, now they got the U.S., the sticks, the CDs. They're bombarded with their music. That's all they want to hear. And they don't understand the fact of how degrading it is. As Marvell mentioned yesterday, they get caught up in the beat first. And then, but most of them are caught up in the lyrics, like that little kid was speaking on the broad, on the thing that Tim posted. And like I say, they don't know that young child's mind is destroyed. He really has no future outside of that. And death may come to him before he even reached the age of 15 or 20 because of what he's seeking. And see, these parents are not aware of the damage that they're doing to their children. And that's why I applaud Tim for the healing circle, because me, myself, I talk to my grandkids.
but it's not enough. They need to hear it constantly from other men. See, when other men speak things, then it becomes something that they'll get used to hearing. That's where wisdom come in. So when they get somewhere, get at that crossroad, they'll stop and think. They'll see a sign of what someone was talking about, and they'll know to go the other way. But listening to this music, like Tim talked about, the little boy getting a gun. I need to get a body count so people will respect me. No, you don't gain respect. You have people afraid of you, and a person afraid of you is going to kill you. He's going to get a body count. Then people are going to applaud him. You know, so there's a story I would like to tell, but it's not appropriate, and it's nothing to brag about, but that's what people are doing these days. The bad men are all dead. Ain't no bad man alive. Once he dies, then everybody recognize him as a bad man because somebody going to kick that bad man out. So, like I say, and it all goes back, ties back into this Christmas thing. We're so fast to listen to a fairy tale or a lie because it looks good, and it's built based around the bag. Santa Claus got a bag. Papa got a brand new bag. People just want a bag. They call the old lady, oh, that's my bag there. You know, it's crazy. It really is. We lose love. We lose, we don't have no caring in our heart anymore. We don't look at our ladies no more. Oh, my lady got a kind spirit. She's a sweet woman. She's a sweetheart. No, my woman got a big butt. My woman got big breasts. Look at these lips. You know, we're caught up in the looks of things, you know, and we got to get away from that. We got to get away from it. I digress.
Yeah, cosmetology. Yeah, the appearance of things. And it's one of those observations that I think we have to keep pressing for others to make and to observe closely. Because I would dare to say that it's easy for that stimuli. We talked about it yesterday in our youth healing circle about the stimuli that motivate one to gravitate towards something or to bathe in it once it occurs. We talked about the dopamine in the pleasure center of the brain. I just put it out there. I said, who knows what dopamine is? And one kid that he caught me off guard. Because I didn't think that he was, you know, really very involved in our group. He just kind of like was like there because, you know, okay, well, I got to be here kind of guy. But he raised his hand. He said it's the part of our brain that receives the stimuli of pleasure, right? So fantasy is one of those stimuli, right? Have you painting pictures, and the pictures look glorious, and the pictures are exhilarating. The pictures are clear and moving. So fantasy, in a sense, is taking the place of what a good vision does. Because when you have a good vision, it has color, it has vibration, it has that stimuli in it to urge you to keep going toward it. So now we're being, our vision is being supplemented by a whole bunch of fantasia. And it's very dangerous for us because we are the creative force. I can talk about the inventions again, there's 70 plus of them. I can keep on reading them off until you will understand that we are the creative force. Everyone else duplicates our creativity. So it's dangerous for us to allow ourselves to get caught up into fantasia because now we're following someone else's creativity and not tapping into and demonstrating our own.
Let me jump right at this moment because something struck me. Now, all of us, remember, and I like to use history as a tool. Now, let's go 15 years back, 15 years ago, dashikis and hair naturals were the order of the day. And I'm going to talk about our women. Our women, black women, women of color, had their natural hair. There were no weaves, a few wigs here and there, but everything was, quote, natural. With the advent of technology and being sold a bill of goods, women now today dress in all sorts of ways. And some unrecognizable ways. But I use the hair as an example. You don't see naturals no more. What you see is weave, process, concept, hair, and your wigs and whatnot. And I'm just using that as an example. 15 years ago, men did not walk around with their underwear exposed. Today, you can't go around the corner without having that as an image. And not only black men. I have witnessed Hispanic men. I have witnessed white men. I have witnessed white, Hispanic, and some Asian using the N-word on a regular basis. So when it comes to us who are the originators, because everybody follows what in this, they don't say it, but every trend and concept has been followed because of us. Every civil rights that you were talking about, and one don't mention the Afghanis and those folks who have just gotten here. If it hadn't been for what we did on, quote, civil rights, these folks wouldn't even be here, but they're here. Why? Because of the fight we put up. The Hispanic didn't fight. The Asian did not fight. We've had to fight and continuously have to fight. And it's time to put our swords down and put our heads together. And I'll stop.
Yeah.
I agree with you on that one. I want to say something real quick before you get started, Marvell.
Yes,
creativity have been our own demise. That's what we have to think about. A lot of things we built, they used against us. They used it for their own progress, and it cost us. To the point to where we're barely living, we're barely surviving. So that's what we really got to think about. What we have to do for ourselves. We have to utilize the things that we come up with, that we brainstorm, and use it for ourselves, not as to prosper, to chase a bag, to get rich off of, but to utilize for ourselves so we can grow. See, if all the things that we created, invented, brother, we used it for ourselves, where would we be now? Just think about it. Where would we be now? They would be coming to us. See, so that's what we got to get back to, because that gift that we have, we still have it, and we can still utilize it, and it'll work for us if we come together and work it. We got to work our own works. I digress.
And I continue to add to the concept of our unity, collectivism, and creativity, which produces and keeps things going, so that this can be. I said it yesterday. This is one of the greatest countries, not the greatest country. And until we are allowed to have the equity we deserve and have earned in here, we won't be the greatest country. We will be when that occurs. It's just I'm seeing it clearly that in order for us to have the really clear vision is to not have anything on our periphery that applies that as we move forward, we have to be wary of treachery and devastation. Because I think lingering in the hearts of the people who have been oppressed through violence, traumatized, and manipulated through clever verbiage, clever marketing, but at the same time, after marketing stops working, then there's like, oh, okay, well, that ain't working. Well, dig this. If you don't do it, then we got the gun. Periphery of our movement, if we don't have that looming concern, I think it'll be easier for us to see how we can progress. So in moving in that direction, not only do we collect and demonstrate, but we also will do well to demonstrate and remind everyone of the type of people we are. We are forgiving. We are caring people. We are wholesome. We are spiritual. We're not going to wreak retribution on anybody for anything that happened in the past. Just look forward as we move forward, and we will come together as a humanity, because humanity is the core value here. And once we start demonstrating that we're going to practice that, I think it will relax all of that friction on the periphery, because I know for myself, I always felt like once we come together, because in the 60s, there was that movement where we were looking at each other with respect and honor, and we were moving in a direction to demand that we get the respect from others that we were giving ourselves. And that was undermined with treachery. It was undermined with a drug that put us to sleep. And it was a design, clearly to me, to show that once we start moving like this, if we do, we would be mindful to include those who may be in opposition, to let them have a vision too. Not that, oh boy, here they come, we got to stop them. No, it's like, oh, here they come, let's see if they are who they say they are and if they're going to do what they say they're going to do. And let's see. Let's see if they're going to be the people that we've been manipulating because of their forgiveness. We've been manipulating because of their trust. We've been manipulating because they are wholesome, hardy people, and therefore susceptible to our trickery. But now we want to look at them differently, make sure that we carry that message, that we're not doing this in retribution. We're not doing this because we want to take over anything. We're not doing this because we want to show you who we are opposed to who you are. We want to show that once we are in flow and once we have our footing, that we will help enrich the greatness of this country. So I'm just planting that seed and watering that seed so that we won't have this thing like looking for somebody to come with a gun or looking for somebody to come with a law or some legislation or some opposition or some marches against our growth, marches against our movement, counter stuff. I'm not trying to create any counter to what we're doing. We're trying to create cooperation with what we're doing. So I hope that seed can be watered as well as we progress.
It can't be done. It can be done, but as I've said, and I'll continuously say, we've got to turn inward to clear the types of things that we've been so accustomed to as you speak. But it can be done. Even with the small group of men that we know who are actually talking to kids and working with other folk and whatnot, that's a small number. small numbers grow. So I'm all for moving forward. And while you were speaking, I'm thinking of you mentioned aloud. I'm a little bit more combative. As I said yesterday, we have earned the right. Do we get our rights? No, not unless they're spoken for or fought for. But we have earned our right to be number one in this country and of this country. Now, does this country respect us? No. And that's evident every hour of the day. However, if we, that's a strong however. Not only do we demand, we stand, as one gone said. And that's what they don't see. They don't see groups of men, black men standing. They're scared of us from the beginning, even just talking. But once black men begin to lock arms and stand together, that's a force that they have. They cannot because of fear of this race of people. And, you know, whites may say, oh, I'm not afraid. It's not my fault. But, again, really go walk into a store. Walk down the street. Everybody has eyes on you. Everybody. Let's make it so. And I'll stop.
So dispelling that fear is a part of the agenda. I guess that's what I'm proposing, is that we to be aware of that fear and aware of the responsibility to do what we can to dispel that fear, because that fear can be devastating to anything that we put forth. That fear is backed by laws, legislation, law enforcement, with the right and the certificate to carry and use a gun for enforcement. So I subscribe to being assertive, plant the seed of not appearing to be aggressive, because that's the triggering, if I may use a pun, the triggering of the justification to come with force, aggression. We don't have to be aggressive. We just have to be assertive.
That's it.
That's it. We just have to be assertive, right? And not defiant. We don't have to be defiant even in our assertion. We just have to be community, calm, and unity.
I had a white officer tell me before I retired, because we went to high school together, we played football together. He joined the police force before I did, and we were just sitting up talking. And your point just a moment ago is what the reason why I'm making this comment. He said to me, and I've never forgotten it, never will forget it. He said, the only reason why the community is so in shambles is because we don't see, you know, black men. You understand what I'm saying? Black men who are upstanding, who are, as one gone said a moment ago, whose backs are straight, who are standing on their 2 feet. What we see, and I had to agree with it, is a lot of individuals trying to get over. Well, you're trying to get over. You're not doing it right. And therefore, here comes the police, which for arrests and whatnot. And I'll close with this. In this country, it is constitutionally agreed upon that I, without any violence, without anything else, can open carry with the right certificates. Now, do we exercise that right? No. A group in the South of black men, total black men, they publicize them every time they march because they are duly armed. They don't. We've not heard of any problems with that group. and they've got guns, and whites have got guns. So it can be done, and I'll stop at this moment.
Yeah, but there are many like tentacles to the movement, or let's say the forward motion of a united black people. There are many facets, and the more that we look at, observe before we go forth, the more we could curtail as we move forth. I don't want to be a part of something that we get surprises because we ignored some details. Something was like, oh man, dang, I forgot that. That's how they are, man. I forgot that's how they. We ain't gonna don't forget. Let's use our memory to our advantage. We know that certain things happen when certain things are put forth on our behalf. So let's curtail those things by communicating beforehand. Like, look, we're getting ready to do this, and we're doing this in peace. We're doing this in peace, but we're doing it. Now, you know, you just observe and see if you start getting nervous. Let us know, and we'll assuage your nervousness, because that's how we are. We are forgiving people. We ain't trying to, cause a rebellion that has to end in war and gunplay. We're not doing that. That's look at the big picture. What's going to happen? Because, see, that's why I talk about the inventions, because I'm not just apprising a lot of black people of something they didn't know. I'm reminding them white people of what they already know. They already know who invented this stuff. They knew it before we did, because they took it, manipulated it. So they already know what I'm sharing with our people. So now that everybody know, what do we do? We let it be known that we want to continue to be of that. And we want to continue to be a part of something that makes it so that it's comfortable for every human being in this country. Not different denominations and all that. We're not just doing it for black people. We're doing it because it's in our hearts. It's in our spirits. It's in our makeup to make things happen. And don't block us anymore and see what happens. It's going to work for you. It's been working for you. You got a refrigerator. Who invented that? Who invented that? If it wasn't for that, we'd be kind of primitive, wouldn't it? So just don't block us. Just get out the way and let us do what we do. And when we talk about trust with each other, we had to garner trust with them so that they won't overreact to our motion. So that's what I'm saying. There's a whole lot of components and details that we would do well to be considerate of while we're moving forward, because we don't want to be setting ourselves up for like a, oh, dang, I forgot that, man, that's how they do. Well, let's be aware. Oh, get out of, like they say in politics, let's get out in front of what we know and minimize the impact, or minimize even the likelihood that they'll do it, because we already let them know. It's like if somebody tell you, before you got into this, you used to be in penitentiary, and so I didn't tell you that up front. When they hit it, it's like, oh man, dang, I didn't know dude was it. But if I get out there and test and look here, I came out of penitentiary, I was a drug user, I was a manipulator, I was all that, I did all that. So when somebody else come behind you and say it, you don't have no power, because I already told you. So we can get out in front of whatever might be in opposition to us and bridge them so that they build a bridge so they can look and say, oh, yeah, I might want to go, yeah, okay, that kind of makes sense, let me go ahead on. But at least they'll stay on their side and won't blow the bridge down. So it's deeper thinking to me than just the movement itself and the unity in the movement. We have to recognize that there are some peripherals that always seem to be lingering that may stop a lot of people from wanting to get involved, may stop a lot of leaders from wanting to lead because they kill our leaders. And it's a strategy. It's not by chance like, oh, man, I don't like that dude. I'm just going to go ahead on some civilian like, yeah, I don't like that dude. I'm going to go ahead on and just, no, it's a design. So let's be mindful of those factors. And let's act accordingly when we move. That's my thrust on this matter. Let's just act accordingly because we come in peace. Let's say that too. We come in peace, harmony, unity for not just for us, but for everybody around us. Because you're already taking advantage of all our resources for everybody around us. So let us take advantage of our own and see what happens. I digress.
Man, goodness gracious alive, you are listening to the Wise Words of One Gone Show, man. The topic is, what does Christmas mean to you? And when you talk about giving, and when you talk about supporting, and when you talked about uplifting, inspiring, and engaging in love with your brethren, then you're talking about Christmas. That's what Christmas is. Christmas is the love for one another, not just at one time of the year, not just giving gifts, but to give the love from your heart, which is unconditionally. We'll be right back. It is the Wise Words of One Gone Show, man. We finna get on the freeway right here. That's what we lacking, and that's what we need to get back to, love. It is the Wise Words You Want Gone Show on Blog Talk Radio. The number is 515-605-9861. That's 515-605-9861. And if you're having trouble getting in on that line, I suggest when you get off trying to get in, make sure you call your 611. Tell your network that you cannot call this number. They'll reset your number, but you have to talk to the tech. So 611, ask to speak to the tech. Let them know that you tried to call 515-605-9861 and had a problem. They'll go and reset your phone and get you right on like one go. Ooh, I'm rapping today. Without further ado, we'll get back into the show for you. Here is Marvell and Brother Mark with Brother Joe. Hey, y'all, what's going on, man? It's been a wonderful show, and I want to thank you brothers for being here diligently every day from 9 to 11 a.m. on the Pacific time and 12 to 2 p.m. on the East Coast. Y'all have set a standard right here on this show of keeping it real. So without further ado, here's Marvell. For you, Marvell?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You know, as I look, I've been blessed to be available with some sort of faculty after all I did to self-destruct for so many years in my life. It's clear to me that I was redeemed for the purpose of finding the details and helping our people to look at the details that may be an obstruction for our ability to move forward. And it occurred to me, even love and the feeling of joy is a risk, because once you feel it, you want to keep feeling it. Just like we talk about the dopamine in the brain, that pleasure center. Well, when you stimulate it spiritually, you still probably involve that pleasure. And we've been such in a give and take about our pleasures, about things that make us feel like we're vital and valuable, and then they get obstructed or taken away so commonly for so long that even the feeling of joy and the feeling of unity and the spirit of love that's found in that becomes a kind of risky, because it's like, oh, once I start getting it, something happened to take it, and I don't want to risk that. I don't want to risk, because I'm going to tell you what I was, why I say this, because when I was coming up and I started proving my lifestyle and to prove my view of how life was, and I start doing stuff, then something happened, and I get fired, or something happened, I get blamed for something, or something happened, and so things kept happening to thwart my advancement, and it got to the point to where, I guess it's self-centeredness, but when I started getting the feeling that, oh, something's going to happen, instead of waiting for it to happen, I would do it sabotage myself, because I didn't want to have, I felt the feeling was going to come of loss, so if anybody going to give it to me, I should give it to myself, because it hurts when it comes from elsewhere. I can handle it when I do it to myself, and that might seem like a stretch, but that was my experience. So I'm thinking that feelings of joy, the spirit of love, if we can plant the seed, then not only could you have it, that experience, but as we come together, it will increase and be something that you can consistently anticipate. Once we do that, have to have the trust that once we start doing that, that it won't be fleeting or get taken away like so much and so many other things have been taken away from us. We have to trust. Spirit of joy and love can be maintained once we do what we do together.
That's
is big when you say together. So that's the part, brother. You say unity. We was talking about that. Unity in the community is what's needed, you know. And in order to get the unity in the community, we got to get trust in the community, right? And so together is what I'm leaning on. I'm leaning on when you say we must do this together. And how do we do it together? We do it in love. We do it in unity. You hear me? We do it in unity. And so the movement will move forward instead of falling back all the time, because every time we get a foot or an inch or a centimeter going forward, we get two blocks, five blocks going backwards. And so we never catch up. We never catch up. And so we as a people have to start putting our best foot forward in unity together to make anything happen. It don't happen with the Houdini wand. It don't happen with the magic trick, because we've been tricked by the magic. Oh, yes, we have. And so it's kind of hard to teach an old dog new tricks, but I believe that that old dog better learn them new tricks if he going to stay in this day and age, because the new tricks is really tricking. And I mean, they got the masses tricked out. Anytime you can bring people from another country and put them before people that built the country, you've been tricked. Anytime they can bring some people from another country and put them before the people that built this country, we've been tricked. And so I heard Brother Marvell say, you know, most leaders are scared to get into leadership because our leaders have been killed. We've seen that. We've seen our leaders, the ones that was pushing for us, get knocked down. And they use some of our own people to knock them down as a trick. And so, people, we have to wake up. Family, we have to wake up. We have to move forward. If not now, when? If not now, when? When do we make this movement? When do we start marching forward? When do we start understanding that we are our own medicine? When do we understand that, my people? Because we are our own medicine. And the only way we going to heal is we reach out to one another in love, in unity, together. Thank you.
Right on. Before closing, I have a couple of reports. One is that we work with a youth group, a healing group, and we met last night. A sizable group, about 10, 11 youth in the group. And the topic was put to the floor about peer pressure. And in the discussion came for me, okay, I'm back, came the opportunity for me to ask the question, okay, so where does sagging come from? And two hands jumped up. So I called on one guy, and he said, from the penitentiary. And I said, that's nonsensical to me, because I was in every penitentiary in the state of Ohio. While I was there, did I see that a man that exposed his buttocks for the general population wasn't a sissy? I said that. I said, so the reason why I'm asking you this question is because if you don't know why you're doing what you're doing, you might want to reconsider doing it. Because you're walking around with your pants hanging off your butt thinking it came out the penitentiary, but only that ilk of people walked around showing their buttocks in the penitentiary. So that's the report I have for folks who are of our generation who scratch their head and wonder what's going on. Now you have a lever for conversation, because when they start giving you the origin of it and it doesn't make sense and you point it out to them, the kid had his pants down while I was talking and I saw him visibly slide in his chair and start pulling them up. Because now the facts don't match up with the behavior. So that's my report about that. Another report I have is that we've been talking about forming committees in the Men Accountable Project to start addressing workshop, creating workshop atmosphere so we can have open discussions about some of as many of these concerns that exist that are barriers, because we don't get clarity about what it is. Because again, in our community, you can ask people why they're doing what they're doing, and they'll be just like them kids yesterday. They can't tell you why they're doing what they're doing. It's some kind of heritage or something, some kind of hand-me-down that they find themselves involved in, but when you ask them why they're doing it, they're not able to explain their behavior. So this is why we have these workshops, or I intend to sponsor and get the personnel, but I'm going to be candid with you. I put out a lot of blurbs and sent emails of the profile to quite a few guys, and I ain't heard nothing back from them. I'm concerned about that. I'm concerned that when something is hard copy before you for you to look at and to make a decision about, if you scoff it off, I'm wondering just how genuine are you about getting toward a solution. So I'm putting you guys on the spot that I sent y'all that information. I ain't heard nothing back from you. I'm looking, because I'll find someone else, because we're going to do this. We're going to deal with what's going on in our communities, and we're going to talk about it, and we're going to bring about some sort of formula, some sort of blueprint of how to address these issues so that they won't be obstacles for our movement. So that's those are the two reports that I have.
Thank you for your reports. They are valid reports, and we thank you. Like last night, my wife was in the Healing Circle last night, and she said the wonderful information that was given out by you, yourself, Mr. Marvell Wilson, and Darius Jacobs was a hand in communicating last night. And so what I do know is that whenever we're able to let our young folks lead and be in leadership, it seems to captivate the audience, right? And we just need to make more young leaders in our community. Our young folks are willing and able to lead, but we have to give them a demonstration of what leadership looked like. And I believe last night you did that. You showed young Darius how leadership is used amongst his peers, amongst his people. And I believe that if we continue to uplift that young man and push into him, pour into him the things that he needs to have in order to move forward as a leader, all he has to do is just pay attention to you, brother, and the way that you deliver the punch. So again, I just want to thank you for holding down our young folks and uplifting them, encouraging them, and inspiring them to be the best they can be. Because what I did understand out of looking at the video my wife took is that you told these young folks that we're waiting on you to step up to the plate and decide what kind of hit you want. You want to get on first base, second base, third base, or do you want to do an RBI, which is knock in a run, or do you just want to hit the home run? Because if you show us, the community, what you want to do and how you want to do it, you have plenty of people are waiting on you to demonstrate that so they can show you and help you get across the finish line or get close to the finish line, right? And so with that being said, I appreciate your upliftment to our young folks, because they don't hear that often enough, to where if you show us
that you got a good idea and all you need is support, you have people right here that's ready to support you. A lot of our youth don't hear that. So with that being said, continue to do the great work you do for the great people you do it for. And I'm quite sure that God is just smiling every time you do what you do, because once before, you were a distraction to your people. You were, I don't know what you was. You know what you was. And so he done changed you. He done wiped you off. He done dust you off. He done put you back in the game of life. And you're living. And you're living in a way that our young folks can make a replica and always look at that replica and say, you know what? I'm not doing the things I need to do. Let me look at this replica of what a real demo look like so I can get back in the game of life and start living. With that being said, any final words from the Panto? Mark?
Yes. I wanted to go back and add something to what Marvell said about the pants hanging. It also came from way back in slavery time, the buck breaking. They would humiliate our black men by shoving foreign objects up in them, even go as far as to raping them. And they would force them to wear, they would take their belt from them and allow them to walk with their pants sagging just to show the mess that the master had done to them. And in closing, I'd just like to encourage everyone to call in, listen up, speak up, give your input, because I know you have something to say. And we encourage you to say something because we don't know it all. But with your help, we can get this thing ball rolling, and we can continue to move forward in progress. Ashe.
Dope. So with the 90 seconds that we have, I want to let y'all know we'll be talking about hip-hop 50th anniversary, right? We're going to talk about that because I don't understand why all of this money that our brothers and sisters have gotten out of hip-hop haven't put the money together to bring us up out of this drought of that we're in. And it's a big drought that we're in. We don't have too many things that represent us to the fullest. If we do, it's a quiet thing, and I don't know about it, but as big as hip-hop is, and it's in every nation worldwide, we don't get nothing from it. That ain't gave nothing to the community out of hip-hop. And I want to know what the people say. So with that being said, I bid you a farewell. Good day. Have a good one. Make sure you put yourself first so that you can bring somebody else along, because if you don't love yourself, you can't love nobody else. If you don't help yourself, you can't help nobody else. I'm One Gone. It's been the Wise Words of One Gone Show with your host, Marvell Wilson, and the panel of Joe and Mark. And we thank y'all for listening, ear hustling. We got skating tomorrow at King's Gate Country, 6:30 to 8:30, right there at 10404 Franklin Boulevard.